What is happening? Welcome to another Plus Pitch podcast. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is May 2nd, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. We had Kodai Senga, the ghost fork in the road, because are we going to like Kodai Senga moving forward? I hope so. It was 4 innings, 1 run, 5 hits, 3 walks, and 6 strikeouts, 13 whiffs, 26% CSW in this one, and he had a co-share of the gallows pole, believe it or not, at 13 whiffs. No one beat 13 whiffs. You had two other guys do that today. We have velocity down still, 94, and not the 96 flirtation that we saw last year and traditionally do see in that four-seamer, because it was a four-seamer in the past that would throw, go mid to upper 90s, and I thought, man, this shouldn't be hit as hard as it does, and I was like, oh, cool, it's not really the best shape, all that stuff, but now at 94, I don't really like it nearly as much. The cutter came back, though, and the cutter was utilized 24% of the time, had a high strike rate, high CSW. There were a few mistakes with it, but that was much better and encouraging. And the ghost fork and the slider also was going down in velocity, same with that cutter. The way I see it with Senga right now is that I like that the cutter's there. I don't like the velocity's down. And the ghost fork is generally just still going to be good. If the cutter is still living in the zone a ton, he should be fine, like a low-end Holly. I don't think we see the top 25 kind of Senga that we saw from like June, middle of June of 2023 until the end of the year, until we see the velocity return, which we might not get back. So think of that with Senga. We just kind of keep throwing him out there for the most part. Maybe choose your matchups a little bit here and there, but generally you are fine. All right. So as we enter into May 2nd today, we're talking about May 1st. I just want to say also happy birthday to Sarah Langs. If you haven't read it, there is an unbelievable must-read piece on Lindsay Adler's Substack about Sarah Langs, and I cannot express to you enough, you have to read it. It is, if you don't know Sarah Langs, she is just the most passionate, incredible baseball personality, brilliant analyst who is just an absolute sucker for oddities and baseball stats. And unfortunately, she was diagnosed with ALS a few years back. And it's why we do PitchCon for ALS every year. So if you have a moment, give it a read, understand the situation a bit, and just get more awareness that ALS funding is being cut massively. And it's not that we can't find a cure for it, it's that we just need to fund it more. And it's a major issue at the moment. While Lindsay really does such a brilliant job, as she always does, just articulating the situation, and it's just a read that everyone should have today. So happy birthday, Sarah Langs. Jeffrey Springs, going from one good human to not a good human. Sunshine and rainbows, I guess, here. 6 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 1 walk, and just 1 strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? 2 out of 14 changeup whiffs. Despite facing right-handed batters almost exclusively, is really strange on it. And he had Koufax in favor here, obviously, 17 over 18 outs. Were not in the strikeout variety. It was in play. He just kind of threw all these fastballs down the middle to right-handers. Rangers swung a ton, 6 innings at 68 pitches as those balls found gloves. Yeah, we don't do it. You have Sean Burke against the Brewers, 6 innings, 0 runs, 2 hits, 3 walks, and 5 Ks. That's a gold star for Sean Burke, because I really haven't expected him to perform well, even though there are numbers in his pitches, like his metrics of his pitches do suggest that he can be good. He's just, he's at 94 and not 96, and the location of those four seamers haven't been very good, while the slider and the curve have not really been those amazing offerings. However, this was better. 30% CSW plus on all three of his main pitches as four seamer, slider, and curve. And then you have 7.1 feet of extension on that four-seamer, 18 inches of vert with 94, and you kept the four-seamer upstairs, the lefties, not so much the righties. That is a good enough thing. Like, I'm saying 96, that's what got me excited about Sean Burke, like, really excited about it. But 94 is fine if you can get that upstairs. Like, it's not just fine, it's great. Steep angle, but fine, we'll take the vert and the extension. Now, the question then becomes, are you going to throw the secondaries for strikes underneath it? Thing is, with the breaking balls for Sean Burke, the curve was kind of erratic, and the slider was dancing with the disco inside the zone, and I just wish that Sean Burke can polish that a bit, just getting more consistent with that command. I talk about this a lot, where guys have these good days, and they have some stuff that gets me excited, But really the final element is saying, hey, can you just execute effectively? It's why I like Job as much as I do, because I think that he's actually not far off from the execution part. It's just more about the approach part. While a guy like Sean Burke, you see this could work, but you're not really executing an at-bat effectively yet. So hopefully this continues on and he can really build on at least the four-seamer being a little bit better here. And he gets the Royals and then he gets the Marlins. I don't think it's worth in your 12-teamers for that. Maybe against the Marlins, maybe your deeper leagues for the Royals, but I don't think we're there yet with Sean Burke. You have Ben Lively going against the Minnesota Twins. Ben Lively, I just don't really ever want to go for. Is that okay? Cool. Can we just say that and move on? 5.2 innings of 0 runs, 5 hits, 0 walks, and 2 Ks. Yeah, just don't really do it. He almost gave you a Philly. I mean, gave you a Philly. He almost gave you a quality start. But yeah, this is against the Twins. Whatever, Ben Lively. Andrew Abbott against the Cardinals. He had a rain delay in this one. So did Matthew Liberatore. So that's why you see under or a few pitches thrown. 74 pitches, 4 innings. I think he got saved because he had 4 walks. With Atlanta and Houston next, like you don't want to touch this. He's still underneath 92 on the fastball. The whole package is not quite solidified. The changeup is still a little too high. He's getting more horizontal than he is really needing that drop that he needs on it. While also the curve is kind of there, but not there. And the fastball, is that really good? Andrew Abbott, I remember talking to Eno about him. We're both on the same page of like, you watch him and you go, how's this working? Like Brandon Francis has been that. Andrew Abbott has been that. Andrew Heaney has been like that. There are a couple guys have been like that. I mean, Ben Lively has been at times too. But yeah, I don't want to go for it. Tanner Houck. Oh my gosh. Tanner Houck. Against the Jays, he's been so bad this year, right? We know this. 7 innings, 1 earned run, 4 hits, 0 walks, and 6 strikeouts. So, 2 things. I'm just like, okay. 95.8 on the sinker, which is insane. Because this has been 93.7 all year. That's over 2 ticks, right? That's a big deal. And it does have a feeling of, we've seen this before, of guys having a bad game, and then the next game, they just have so much velocity. Because they're just going full max effort the entire time, right? So it might not be a sustainable thing, thinking like the adrenaline, like I need to save my spot in this rotation right now. Now, here's the thing. You have the sweeper also gaining that 2 ticks of velocity, but it had even less horizontal break. Okay, we're talking 7 fewer inches, and there's a good distinction between fewer and less. Actual inches, integer, less just nebulous or horizontal break. That is not good. 9 inches of sweep is like -9. What? This is Tanner Houck. This is supposed to be like the most ridiculous sweeper. So that's weird. And he threw more of them to lefties than to righties, which again, does not make sense. That is like the usage percentages. He went sinkers upstairs to lefties and then he threw them down the pipe, just like endlessly just kept throwing sinkers down the pipe to righties. And that worked. The splitter is, I'm just weird. I'm weirded out. It's a strange one. If you want to take a chance against the Rangers and you want to say like, hey, he's going to throw 96 again, he'll figure out the other stuff, fine. But the fact that the sweeper is not that ridiculous pitch to righties. I mean, it used to be like a 16-17 negative sweep, horizontal movement. Now it's at 9. Oh my gosh, that's just terrifying. Okay, you have Tyler Malley against the Athletics. 6 innings, 1 run, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 6 strikeouts. He went ultra splitter. And I was making sure I remembered correctly here and not confusing him with Tanner Houck. This was precision down and away to lefties. It was really good. Threw them 61% of the time to lefties. Splitters! Incredible. And he threw it. He threw it with a cutter that had minimal presence this time around. Last time we saw more of it. The heater was a 28% CSW. Kind of questionable command with it not really like landing upstairs. I don't know. It seems odd. And Malley isn't a guy that should run through his splitter. He was feeling it, so he threw it great. I'm happy he had a good one. He gets Fenway next. I don't really want to start Malley in Fenway. I just don't expect that splitter to be as good. We got to talk about Zach Gallen. And this, I mean, we had a day of kind of weird starts from guys, like doing different things. Zach Gallen did the weirdest of anyone. as I actually am drinking out of my Gallon Gals mug in honor of this today. And we'll talk about that after this break. So let's talk about Zach Allen here, right? What has been his season been? Pretty much bad. We know that. And he had this game against the Mets yesterday for a win. 6 innings, 1 earned run, 2 hits, 3 walks, 8 strikeouts, 12 whiffs, but a 34% CSW for a King Cole. And what changed here? Well, he's been a four-seamer called strike guy down-ish or just everywhere, and then hoping that the curveball is good enough underneath, and then having nothing else. The cutter's been bad. The slider's been bad. The changeup has been okay at times. This was a lefty approach of the Blake Snell blueprint merged with Cannibal McSanchez. And that's a test for everyone to see if you're a real one here at Pitcher List. What is the Blake Snell blueprint? It's throwing hard things upstairs and then slow things down. So curveballs were down to lefties. Four seamers were exclusively up. But the Cannibal McSanchez is something that that Colin McHugh and Cannibal Sanchez did when they had these successful seasons out of nowhere. It's where they had these high cutters that started up and out of the zone and then came back down into the zone for called strikes and merged it with their four-seamers. And that's what Zach Gallen did. Every single one of his 13 cutters were high lock, okay? I mean, maybe you can make an argument that maybe one or two of them like were between middle and high. It is insane. He was so precise with this. I've never seen Zach Gallen do this before. He went full-on four-seamers and cutters upstairs and then curveballs underneath the left-handers. Now, the right-handers, not really as much. The right-handers got a lot of like middle, low middle four-seamers and then curveballs underneath it, which is okay, but like really dangerous because the four-seamer, can you survive middle, low? I don't know, but my gosh, that is very new and different and obviously worked. I mean, it worked for the very least because the Mets had no idea that was coming. Like, they can do all the work they want on the traject, on this is what he does, this, that. If you just show up one day and you just throw that to lefties, like, what? You're not supposed to do that. So I'm intrigued. We're going to keep going with Gallen right now. I had him at like 51, I think, during this week. So that was pretty much on your team. But I understand if in those extreme situations you had to drop him. But you're holding Gallen now, and we just hope for the best. Tymon Walker. Went against the Nationals, 5.2 innings, 1 earned run, 4 hits, 3 walks, and 2 Ks. Yeah, he's throwing sub 20% fastballs at least, but no, I don't want to do this. Jose Berríos, he is a great undulator, and he had a co-share of the Gallows Pole at 13 whiffs with 8 strikeouts, 6.2 innings, 200 runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 8 Ks. You can't be all bad because you're the great undulator. You got to go back and forth, and you don't know when it's going to be good or not. Seeing the curve go 0 for 20 whiffs while the changeup went 5 for 12 whiffs, it's kind of interesting. Weird. I do not like the four-seamer and sinker. He did nibble with his four-seamer decently well against lefties. But he goes against the Angels and into Seattle at T. So you might want to just go with that. But then again, like this was against the Red Sox and like you didn't know what you were going to get. You never know what you're going to get with Berríos. Good luck. Good luck. Justin Verlander against the Rockies in San Francisco. This should be a slam dunk. And hey, you didn't get a win, but 6.1 innings of 200 runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 4 Ks. Successful. Well, here's the thing. Oh, no. Justin Verlander, I've been really hyped about. I've been more hyped than others because he's throwing 95, and he has an 88, 89 mile per hour slider. He's been working them in tandem. The slider location's good. The four-seamer's whatever. He threw the slider just 13% of the time, while the four-seamer was thrown a lot. At 93, not 90, not 95, 93. And now he gets the Cubs. And I'm glad that he did this, you know, get 90. It was 93 against the, you know, against Rocky Road. And it wasn't terrible. But man, do I feel like he's starting him against the Cubs right now. I just want to take that one off. Just like, you know what, just put him on the bench for one. Make sure the velocity is back. Make sure everything's okay. Because that could be a real disaster if he's at 93. You have Seth Lugo doing Seth Lugo things. I was really surprised talking to Eno about his rankings and versus mine to see that he was really down on Seth Lugo. After last year, he was really in on Seth Lugo, or at least was showcasing that he's better than Waka, which, by the way, both of them are good. It's like, we both win. But no, he certainly won with Seth Lugo last year, and it made me realize, like, oh yeah, Seth Lugo should be just on all of your 12-teamers, and you're just really happy. He's a Holly. 6 innings, 200 runs, 5 hits, 0 walks, 5 Ks, got the win. I understand why, you know, isn't super in because it's just like, all right, he's fine. He's not really like this big stuff strikeout guy, but Lugo is that's the stabilizer. There is a weird bridge between the guys of like almost like a Max Fried almost versus a low end like Merrill Kelly Toby. And that's what Seth Lugo is. It's harder to discern that gray area more than like the strikeout guys, but they walk too many or they don't go deep into games or something like that, right? Like how productive is Seth Lugo? I just think he's going to be like a 3.5 ERA and a 1.12, 1.15 whip with a 23% K rate. Like it's just going to be helpful and good as stabilizer throughout the year. Colin Ray was our stream pick of the day. And what do you know? Got the win. 6 innings, 200 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 2 strikeouts. He outdueled Paul Skeens, but 4 whiffs, 26% CSW. Now, it is interesting. He's normally at 93, and he was at 94, 95, at 6.8 feet of extension. So if he can get that to 7 somehow, and he's still sitting close to 95, he is at 1.2 height-adjusted VAA as well. He gets no vert. It's kind of funny. Yeah, like I think 12.9 inches of vert, and that is actually more drop than Corbin Burns' cutter, which was at 13 inches of vert, right? Vert means you're going up, right? So the lower the number, the more down it goes, which is crazy to me. That is just, okay. I don't like that for Colin Ray. If you have a flat attack angle, if it has more vert, then it's going to be a better attack angle, of course. Because it's just going to be coming in, not as much a drop. But yeah, the four-seamer was all-reliable at 62% usage. And I guess that extension and velocity did enough. He got called strikes with it. And then he got outs as well. Not really whiffs. So I think Pittsburgh kind of helped him with this. I don't think that everything is amazing with Colin Ray. He's kind of just been more of a command guy. And hopefully everything can just hit the edges. And Koufax can help him a lot. That is, you know, BABIP stuff. But the Giants are next, so I guess we're just going to keep holding on to Colin Ray. Brad Lord went for the Nationals. Best game of the year for him. That could be a gold star, actually, too. 5 innings of 200 runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, and 4 Ks. Yeah, 1-4 whip, but you got to win, all right? Nobody went for this, and if you actually had to, wow, amazing. It's also kind of crazy that he got the win despite going opposite time on Walker, who went deeper into his game, 5.2 innings, and only 1 earned run. Oh, errors, but that always cracks me up when I see that. Yusei Kikuchi, 5 innings, 200 runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, and 5 strikeouts. Hey, he didn't fail. Velocity is not back. It's a little bit better. It's not like 94. It's like closer to 95. It's like almost there. It's not 96 like it used to be. The slider was a major, major force against lefties, 78% usage. The four-seamer was not elevated to right-handers at all. The secondaries didn't do a whole lot. I'm not in. I think like this was a day where he just threw a ton of sliders to lefties. It worked well enough. And the fastball just didn't get hit as much as it normally does. Only 8 whiffs total for Kikuchi. I'm not going to go and chase this. I think his schedule's just been so good, by the way. It's really masked how bad he's been. Simeon Woods-Richardson against the Guardians. 4.2 innings of 200 runs, 2 hits, 5 walks, 4 Ks. Oh, man. Also a co-share of the Gallows Bowl, 13 whiffs. Guys, can you get one more? 24% CSW, 98 pitches here for Woods Richardson, and that really should tell you a lot. 98 pitches, 4.2 innings. So the velocity is still there, 93. He's not at 19 to 20 inches of vert, 17 to 18. And the slider was really good location, precise, down and away to right-handers. 7 for 28 whiffs, and oh my gosh, lefties though. This is where the walks come in. The changeup was thrown 16 times, about like 14 of them were to lefties. And overall had a 44% strike rate. He tried so hard to tempt them down and they just didn't go after it. And there's your high pitch count. I mean, that's it. High pitch count, walks, done. Can you be a productive Toby or low-end Holly? Not until you really can go 6 innings. And the Twins don't let him go there when he's cruising. And when he's not cruising, he's out before 5. So unfortunately, I can't do this right now. Maybe in time, that slider becomes that consistent pitch like we saw here. Maybe the four-seamer is at 93 upstairs with a really good vert. And there's something else against lefties that he can nail down. I mean, I can see how it does work over time, but he just hasn't really put it all together. Matthew Liberatore, as I mentioned before with Abbott, man, he went 3 innings and 42 pitches, like 200 runs, 2 hits, 1 walk, 2 Ks. He was doing fine-ish. Like it was 93.8 on the four-seamer. And oh boy, his slider was just not working. Couldn't find a whiff on anything yet, but it was just 3 innings. Like maybe the rain saved him a little bit from making this a worse one, but 2 whiffs and 42 pitches, guys, which is like 5% swing strike rate. Oh, boy. He gets the Pirates next, so we're just going to forget about this and move on. You have Kyle Freeland against the Giants. He got a very poor quality start on the road, and I guess that's fine, right? 6 innings, 300 runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, and 5 Ks. Sure. Chad Patrick went against the White Sox, 5.2 innings with 3 earned runs, 6 hits, 0 walks, and 4 strikeouts. Chad Patrick, you don't really want to go for this. He goes so heavy into this cutter, and sometimes it works enough, but there isn't anything else. And everything else actually in that arsenal, 51% of his pitches, all held individually under a 20% CSW. I think it was like 16% between them. Ugh. Paul Skeens against the Cubs. 5 innings, 3 runs, 5 hits, 4 walks, 2 Ks, 9 whiffs. You couldn't get the gallows pull. Unreal. The Cubs are doing well. It's kind of weird. You have Casey Mize against the Angels. Yeah, you don't need to do anything about Skeens, don't worry. Casey Mize was very disappointing, of course, for many. 7 innings, 4 runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, 4 Ks. Props to Mize going 7 innings when it wasn't really working. 13 whiffs, another cool share of the gallows pull here. 47% strikes on his 4-seamer is really, whoa, what? He mixed everything a lot, though. The sinker showed up to take over. It was like an 80% strike rate. Smart of him to do that. But I wrote 6 frames. I meant 7 frames here. My gosh. He was at 94, 95 on the 4-seamer, so like 94.5 versus the 95.5 we've seen a lot, 95 or so, but hopefully 96, what we want to get to. And I'm still not really sold on the slurve and the slider. Casey Mize is fine. And props to him, really. You went 7 innings, so you still got a win, even though you weren't pitching that well. You got hit a bit hard early. Yeah, he's a Toby. And then you have Shane Baz. Oh, so disappointing. I watched all of this one. 5.2 innings of 7 earned runs, 9 hits, 3 walks, 1 K. A couple quick things. One, Baz didn't really have a good feel for his 4-seamer in this one. And watching it, I guess it's the same, but it just felt so like low effort at times. But I will say this. It was 5.2 innings of 4 earned runs, and he walked the bases low. He didn't walk them, but like the final batter he walked got pulled, and then all 3 runs came in. But 1 strikeout, 6 whiffs. Like, he was not dominating with the curve as he normally does. He was not dominating with the 4-seamer as he normally does. The hits in play, there was one inning. I mean, he was throwing so many bad pitches, like a slider to Salvador Perez that was just so, like, crushed center. I thought it was gone, and it wasn't. But, yeah, he was not pitching at his best. He was not dominating here. 96 in the velocity, not 97 to 98. This was a much worse Shane Baz, and I just hope that it was a bad day, and we kind of move on. All right, that is it for today. Enjoy Jack Leiter versus Brian Wu, by the way. That's going to be a really fun matchup. We are going to be closing down PL Lifetime subscriptions within the next week. I don't know the exact day. It could be tomorrow. It could be this weekend. But we are closing it down. So if you want to jump in on that, you got to do it now. I don't know when we're going to reopen it. It won't be during the season at all. It is the best way to support what we do at Pitcher List. And we are going to be around for ages. I'm not selling this site. I'm going to make this work. Forever. Like, this is my dream thing. So if you want that lifetime value, I mean, this is the time to do it. You essentially pay for a few years in advance and then you get it for free after. Consider doing that. Become a Pitcherless Hall of Famer. You get free merch too. You can decide between a sweatshirt or you get a package of a shirt and mug. But yeah, consider doing it. Get PL Pro Lifetime today. Go to pitcherless.com/lifetime. That is it. My name is Nick Pollock. And may your BABIP be low and your strikeouts high.